Shalom, shalom to one and all. This is Yehoshua, and it is time for Take 10 for Torah, Parshas Behar B'chukosai edition. This past week, we spoke about some beautiful Noam Elimelech's ideas from Rabbi Elimelech of Lizhansk, right? He's the Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich, who is the primary student of the Baal Shem Tov, the luminary and the founder of the Hasidic movement. This week, I would also like to bring down a phenomenal idea, an inspiring idea brought down in the Noam Elimelech on Parshas Behar in the name of Reb Elimelech's brother, Reb Zisha of Annapol. In Parshas Behar, we are taught about the notion of Shemitah. Every 7 years, we are commanded to let our land go fallow. We're supposed to have a Shabbos, as it were, for our land. We're not allowed to reap. We're not allowed to plant, sow, we're not allowed to tend to our land, we're supposed to just let it be. And when our society was primarily an agricultural society, this was a very intense and severe statement with regards to our faith in God, because our produce, our sustenance, our livelihoods were dependent on our lands, on our farms. So if we weren't allowed to tend to it, we essentially, we're telling God, we trust that you will provide for us no matter what, even in a supernatural way. So the Noam Elimelech brings down a question of his brother, the illustrious Reb Zisha of Annapol, another phenomenal personality, who brings down and speaks about the pasuk in Parshas Behar. When the pasuk says, V'chi somru ma nochal bashana shviis, right? So the pasuk says, by the way, and you're going to ask, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? And as a result, Vitzivisias birchasi lachem, Hashem says, I will then command my bracha, my blessing down to you. You will have 3 years worth of food, because if we can't tend to it in the seventh year, that means that we really need food for the sixth, seventh, and eighth year. We need 3 years worth of food. And so the pasuk anticipates the question that we're going to ask. Where are we going to get our food from for those 3 years? Because we're not going to be able to have food the previous year, or that year, or the year afterwards. So where are we going to get our food from? And Hashem says, don't worry, I will give you 3 years worth of food, so you will be fine the entire time until you're able to bring your field back to the place it is meant to be. Okay. Reb Zisha asks, it's not typical for the Torah to add words. There are no superfluous letters in the Torah. Every single letter in the Torah is intentional, purposeful, and we can derive deep secrets from each letter. So why does the Torah need to include the question here of V'chi somru ma nochal bashana shviis? Why does the Torah need to say, and you're going to ask, and when you will ask, what, or when you will say, what are we going to eat during the seventh year? As a result, I will then command my bracha, my blessing upon you. Why can't it just say, by the way, guys, I'm going to provide for you 3 years worth of food? Why does there need to be the question beforehand? The Torah never wastes any letters. So Reb Zisha gives us a very deep insight into the psychology of man, as well as into the way that Hashem runs the world. Hashem naturally is meitiv. V'derech meitiv lehitiv, as the Ramchal says in Mesiyas Yesharim, and Derech Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is naturally a giver. And especially with regards to his relationship to the Jewish people. There are these pipes, these tzinoros, as are described in the Kabbalah, of divine sustenance and influx that get showered upon this world. And that is what is naturally supposed to happen. Hashem naturally gives. Hashem naturally showers us in blessing. But the moment that we start asking questions, the moment that we start suffering from anxiety and worrying about what's going to happen, the moment that we lose our trust, our bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Hashem, we now, as it were, are making it more difficult for Hashem to give us his blessing. I'll give you an example. And for those of you who have children or who have ever tried to feed a child or have a child, v'chulei, sometimes when you try to feed the child starts going crazy and thinks that the entire world is going to come to an end by you giving him either a bottle or giving him or her some, you know, a spoon with some food, some sweet potatoes on it, thinks that the entire world's coming to an end, and then starts moving their faces all over, and you can't get it in their mouth because they genuinely think that you're trying to kill them. They're upset and they can't focus on the bracha that you're trying to give them. So to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly showering us in a blessing. But the moment that we start worrying, where is everything going to come from? How is everything going to happen? How is Hashem running this world? Where, as it were, we are moving our faces. We are preventing Hashem from just giving us everything naturally. So when we start asking questions, V'chi somru ma nochal bashana, Shviz, Hashem, what are we going to eat? And we start hyperventilating and going crazy, and we become very, very nervous. As a result, Hashem will need to command his blessing upon us. It's no longer going to be natural. Hashem is going to, we are burdening. That's what the Zohar says. As it were, we are being mitareach, we are burdening, we are causing it to be uncomfortable for Hashem. Hashem needs to rework the way of creation and then force his blessing upon us, because when a child isn't accepting food, sometimes you need to be a little bit more forceful and make sure that the food gets into the kid's mouth. So really, this verse, this question is not superfluous. It is very much intentional, and it's an explanation of what is happening. The question is the impetus for the commandment, for the force. When we ask those types of questions, and when we let our anxieties rule over us, we are making it more difficult for the natural order of things, for the natural flow of things to occur. And that is Hashem giving us his blessing. That is idea number one. So may we be zocha to achieve that level of faith and trust in God, where we no longer have to resort to anxiety, nervousness, worry, where we just have that type of understanding that we have to do our little bit, but Hashem really has this plan, and Hashem will take care of us as a father takes care and a mother takes care of their children. The next idea I would like to discuss is something I was thinking about actually last year. The pasuk at the beginning of Bechukosai says, "In Bechukosai teilichu ves mitzvosai tishmaru vas yisamusam." And if you will follow in my ways and keep and guard my mitzvos and perform them. And then it starts saying all of the positive things that will happen if we keep Hashem's mitzvos, and unfortunately all the negative things, or perceived negative things, ostensibly negative things, that will happen if we don't. The Ibn Ezra, based off of the first pasuk, says that we learn three things from here. There's a mitzvah lilmod ulamed velasos. There's a mitzvah to learn, to teach, and to do. But if you look through the first pasuk, im b'chukosai teilechu, if you follow my ways, and if you keep my mitzvos and you do them, you can kind of learn the concept of learning Torah. That actually is based off of the Medrash. And you can also see the concept of performing mitzvos, because it says explicitly, guard my mitzvos and perform them, vasisam osam. But where do we learn about learning, about teaching, excuse me? Where do we see this concept of teaching Hashem's Torah? Where do we see that it is a mitzvah? Where is it found in this first pasuk? So the Ibn Ezra is known to be a master of the text. He is a pashtun. He is the vindicator of the most basic understanding of the Torah, the simplest understanding of the words. It is uncharacteristic of the Ibn Ezra to put something in the text that doesn't belong there, at least on the most literal level. So where does the Ibn Ezra get this from? So there are two different options I was thinking about. Either one, the Ibn Ezra divides up the pasuk into three places of im b'chukosai teilechu, that's referring to learning Torah. Ves mitzvosai tishmoru possibly speaks about the importance of making Hashem's commandments kept, and that's done through teaching. And the last part of the pasuk is vasisam osam, performing mitzvos, and that's where he learns doing mitzvos from. But that doesn't grammatically make so much sense. I would like to suggest something else. The concept of learning, which is brought down in the Medrash here for im b'chukosai teilechu, the importance of learning Hashem's Torah with diligence. Within Torah and Halacha, learning and teaching are very much part and parcel of the same concept. The Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvos, Maimonides, Mitzvos Aseh Yod Aleph, says that the 11th mitzvah that we are commanded to do is to learn Torah and to teach it. And that, as a whole, learning and teaching is referred to as Talmud Torah. You can say, because it either enhances one's learning, as the Gemara in Tainus on Zion Amud Aleph says, "Umitamidai yosef rikulam," that we learn more from our students because that forces us to take responsibility for the text. They sharpen our minds, sharpen our ideas. Or you can also say that Torah is not meant to be kept within ourselves. That Torah, definitionally, is meant to be something that is shared with the world. I would like to share with you a couple of Mar Makomos that express this idea. The Gemara in Sukkah on Mem Tes Amud Beis asks, we have this pasuk in Mishlei that says, "V'torah chesed al lishona," and the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. The Gemara asks, is there a Torah of kindness and a Torah that's not of kindness? So the Gemara quotes in Ikad Amri, there are those who say, "Torah lelamda zuhi Torah shel chesed." When you learn Torah in order to teach it, that is called a Torah of kindness. But when you learn Torah not in order to teach it, that is not referred to as a Torah of kindness. Torah is meant to be taught as well. It's meant to be shared with the world. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph says, Rav Yochanan says that whoever learns Torah but doesn't teach it is akin to a hadas, to a myrtle branch in the desert, where no one else can appreciate its beauty. The Mishnah on Avos in Gimel, Parak Gimel, Mishnah Bey, says, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion said, "Shnaim sheyoshvin vein beinayim divrei Torah, two who sit together and there's no Torah between them, harizeh moshav leitzim." This is called a session of scorners. So one way of understanding this is that if there's no Torah being learned there, then it's considered to be a session of scorners. But Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Tosfos Yom Tov on that pasuk in Ruach Chaim and Tosfos Yom Tov say that we have to make an important extrapolation here, an important deal here. Extrapolation. That says ve'in beinehem divrei Torah. It's specifically if there's no Torah between them. They both say that if people are sitting there at a table thinking of Torah, but they do not discuss it with one another, that is considered to be a moshav leitzim. That is a session of scorners. Torah is meant to be shared with one another. It's meant to enhance the world. And if we continue to bottle it up forever, how can it do that? It will obviously work in metaphysical ways. But Torah is meant to inspire. It is meant to bring out the best in people. And we do that through teaching, through sharing. So I give everyone the bracha. May we be able to learn and to perform Torah. But ultimately, may we also be able to share it with our friends, with our family, with the world at large, and bring the Mashiach in that wake. Zei gesund.